When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, hello, everybody.
Hello.
Bishop, you didn't post this.
I was showing you to see if you liked it first.
God, the two of you with the social media back and forth.
Well,
all we do is fight.
I mean,
but amazing things come out of it.
Gems.
Do we need like a little gif or something? Like five, something fun or no? That is a picture of my. Don't give me that look, you bishop. Bishop? You bishop? No, I'm just going to post it then.
Uh-oh.
What should I do?
Let me put a gif.
No, you don't want to put a gift.
No, that's a great idea.
No, you don't like
See,
it.
See, look, this is what happens when we work together. We create magic.
Here. That is true. Have you seen our stories?
Of course.
They're incredible.
Instagram has become story time with Jillian and Sarah.
Yes, totally.
I'm all into this twerk thing you guys are trying to do.
Assclap.com.
I love it. Did you see my story from yesterday?
Yeah, but
Mr. and Mrs. Bishop. Oh,
no.
You did not see it.
Oh, oh my god!
No, I would not.
Oh,
we were at Soho. She's trying to get me to twerk.
You're missing gems.
Okay, I said that at the end of one of these segments. I was texting Sarah yesterday. She needs to ass clap close to the mic to end the segment. Like,
no way.
Yeah.
So I did a twerk. Right? Oh, and then Bishop was like, I can twerk, I can ass clap.
I did not say
yes,
that.
She did.
No, I didn't.
I have it on video. I have it on video.
I have the best twerking.
I saw it on video.
I have it on video. Thank you, Jake.
Best
and then,
twerking videos.
Yeah, and then Bishop was like, I'm not going to do it. Yeah, but whatever. It doesn't matter. I had a segment on worry, but I'm still waiting for Bishop to post my story, so I'm distracted. Did you come up with a gift
or not? Are you worried
about
it?
I am.
You're
I like
worried.
This.
Hearts?
Mm-hmm.
Cutting, 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 cutting.
I'm saying I love myself, though, with hearts. No, I can't. She put hearts. Look at what she did.
It looks cute.
She put hearts on my...
She's not really a heart type, though, is she?
She's a lover. She just pretends.
I mean, like punching fists or something.
Okay. All right. I'm posting it. Whatever.
Jake, did you hear that?
Oh, Bishop. All right. Anyway, so... The other day, I was, man, like sometimes, like, this doesn't happen often. This doesn't happen often. Oh!
You sent that yawn around the table. Now I got caught halfway.
Cindy, pay attention. Gosh. Try to focus. So, all right, this doesn't happen often, but sometimes you ever just get like, anxiety, like a physical feeling of anxiety, and you don't know why.
For no reason, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was like, ugh. And like, you lose your appetite and whatever. And I looked at Bishop, and we were recording spots for the podcast in my closet with a microphone.
Oh, God. Thank Sounds you. So weird.
Yeah. Oh, God. And I literally was like, ugh, I'm like anxious. I was like, maybe we need to like, I was on the floor doing push-ups. Like, I couldn't figure wow. out like what it was, and then my brother came downstairs. He's like, ugh, I'm so anxious. I was like, I just said that to Bishop. And then I was like, Bishop, are you anxious? She's like, well, now I'm anxious. And like, this whole house was anxious. And, like, sometimes, I don't know, my brother looked at me and he was like, gave me this quote from the Dalai Lama, which I have no idea where the hell that came from. And I thought it was stupid at first, but then I was like, maybe it's not. Maybe we should talk about it. And it's something like, if there's a solution for whatever it is that's bothering you, don't worry. If there isn't a solution for whatever it is that's bothering you, don't worry.
Yeah, right, because worrying does nothing.
Yeah, and I know that in theory. So I was like, is it the dread? Like, then I went to such a crazy place in my head. I was like, well, Jesus, in the Bible, it says he was very concerned about dying on the cross and he was sweating blood. He was so worried about it. I don't even mean that. I went there. I went down.
It turned you to the Bible.
Yes, it did. I was like, well, if Jesus is going to worry, I don't know what. Like, it just, and I thought, like, why do we do it? It doesn't serve.
I don't think you do it. I think it happens in your mind without you wanting it to happen.
Yeah.
It's subconscious.
It's like a primal function.
Yeah. It's like your central nervous system. It just does it.
And then it's hard to get out of if you get deep enough. So you just have to like work your way out.
You know how hard it is to give zero f**ks all your life?
I know.
Like that's just not, for a responsible person, that's not possible.
No, it's
but
not.
But does it, if it's something that comes on like out of nowhere, like, I know there's
it was
a lot
underlying
of,
stuff.
Yes, that's what
I'm
I mean.
Sure.
Because there's a lot of, you know, chemical imbalance, anxiety, disorder everywhere.
I had stuff to get done, but, like work wise, and the family stuff. And I was like, stuff to get done. And I was just feeling like, I don't know. I mean, and like I knew the announcement was coming out about the breakup that could have been doing it. I don't know. Yeah. But like, it just, it's true though. Like, if there's nothing you can do, there's nothing you can do. If there's something to do, then like, do it. But yet.
So why don't you catch? So next time you feel it building up, you're probably what's probably causing it is you're feeling paralyzed in some way, shape or form about something
that
you need to accomplish.
Yeah.
And it kind of manifests itself into worrying.
Or like something's out of my control.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is every day. Remember that post I sent you the other day?
The meme.
Yeah.
I got to get that up. It's so good.
It's perfect for it. Perfect for you.
God, it was so. I gotta find it.
But that's the kind of thing when you have so much going on and that you just you don't even next, and then it does pile up. It doesn't go away in your head. But then there's other things that happen that if you just take a minute and you breathe and you're like, okay, really, you're not feeling any of it, so it's just piling up. If it's something like when we're saying about, if there's nothing I can do about this travel issue or there's nothing I can do about that, you say, you just deal with it.
Yeah, just turn on a twerk
but
video.
If it's something that gets in your brain and starts like working on you, it can become a physical thing, and then that physical feeling,
oh yeah, it becomes a yes,
your body reacts
you
to that
chemically
physical, yes exactly your yeah, body so, reacts to yes. the physical feeling
Where's
and now
thing?
It's separated
Saturday,
itself
like. So why don't you do this when you feel like that? Why don't you?
Here it is. Sorry, here G said this to me. No, Sarah was with me. You sent it to me on like a Friday, I think, because I know you were with me. Honestly, I don't even play an active role in my life anymore. It just happens, and I'm like, oh, is this what we're doing now? Okay.
Yep,
how perfect is that for her?
That's about right.
I was dying. Oh my God, I was dying laughing because it is so true.
And that's life.
Rip.
That sounds a lot like life. That sounds a lot like what just...
Oh, my God. R.I.P.
But, I mean, there's, like, there's no logic to worry. You
no,
know?
There's not. And it does
like,
is
I'm
damage.
Worried, I'm worried. It's some
this
people
to you, Bishop.
Feel,
make this into a meme.
Some people feel that if they worry, they're actively doing something. And if they don't worry, then shit's going to happen.
I mean, we all know those people that live their life without caring about anything. And everything just seems to work out for them, some way, shape, or another.
Wait, I got another one for you. This one I was going to send you. I thought you'd appreciate this one. Hang on. Another meme. Wait, where is it? So perfect. Hold on. Here it is. Okay.
There's a lot of branding going on at the TuneIn studio today.
I know. Oh, yeah. I know they're serious about the branding. Yeah. I don't know if...
We have step and repeat.
I'm reading meme here.
All right.
Meme
it.
We're doing a step and
repeat.
Meme me. Bizarre. Okay. I don't know if I believe in karma. I see plenty of motherfuckers who did me wrong doing just fine.
So good.
Truth. Is that in the Bible?
I don't think it is.
It should be.
I know, right? I don't think
the lesser known passage by Luke.
I mean, this town is all about people that are beat and fail up.
Yes, it is. Like Gene and I will talk.
Fired, fired, fired. Now president. Fired. Yes. Now CEO. Chairman. Yeah. Fired. Now owner. Yep. Fired. Sold the company. What?
I know. And the guys who are really good dudes never work again.
Fired. $11 million package.
Yeah, golden parachute.
Yeah. It's true. It's L.A., isn't it? I don't know. Anyway.
I'm getting tired of L.A.
Here's the hard part. I'm completely changing the press, okay?
I'm worried about
The hard part with L.A. is that there's so much to do, and the weather's great. Like, where do you go? You bounce around, though. Like, if I locked you down in Miami, I don't know how you would do, because you're in Miami, Vegas, New York, L.A. Like, you're all over the place.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do if I just stuck you there and was like...
Well, I'm going to be in... Well, no, I can't because I'm going to New York in July. So, But I love it. I mean, for me, it's just zen. And it's kind of culturally, it's what I like. You know, it's just
but you're not
Latin and...
there all the time.
Yeah, so... No, you're right.
That's the thing.
You mean Miami, not
LA. And I just got a new place, so it's just like...
Yeah, you got a great awesome apartment. Pad.
Yeah, so... But I think, people bounce around. I mean, I know people that spend a month here and a month there and do this and that.
You can't do that with kids.
No, you can't.
They're in school.
That's until they're 18. Like, that's...
But, like, when they're in school, like, you just can't. They got to be stable and it's a whole thing.
No, of course. It makes sense. Kids need a routine.
Maybe it's anywhere, but it's just like...
Why are you getting tired of it?
Because I'm starting to feel like people come to L.A. to just be as insane as they want to, as like, not... Not unkind, faking it.
It attracts a certain kind of person.
But I mean, and I'm not even talking about entertainment. I'm talking about in like other businesses and other people I talk to who work outside of this industry, who are experiencing this, like underqualified people being hired to run things that they don't understand.
Well, wait. I think this is a societal thing.
Are you talking about the presidency? What are you talking about?
And maybe it's that. It's just mirroring.
I think it's cultural. Yeah. I also think it's like
that is the atmosphere for sure.
Yeah, I think people are obsessed with youth right now more so than ever. Like it wasn't like that when I was a kid.
Because you were young.
Well, like, it's so interesting. I know someone who is 32, okay? When I was 32, we were working on relationships with 50-year-olds. Mm-hmm. We were courting Maria Shriver and, Suze Orman and Dr. Phil and, like, Rachel. Like, we were working on that older generation anoint you and teach you. Like, this 32-year-old is hanging out with 20-year-olds.
Right.
And getting validation from that. And I'm like, it's not that she's immature. I'm just saying, like, that's the direction. Yeah. It's like, oh, well, the Hadids and the.
Yeah, but that's L.A.
It's now. I was in L.A. at 32. It's now. It's not L.A.
But it's not.
It's cultural.
It's not like that in other states in this country.
I disagree.
It is.
It is.
I disagree. I'd be shocked.
I disagree with you. It is like. You want to get anointed by a 20-year-old it girl instead of like a 60-year-old like empire
in entertainment, maybe.
Dude, I don't know.
I don't hear this from friends in Seattle. I don't even hear this from friends in New York. But maybe that's because they're a little older. But
I don't know. Like I on Gucci's Instagram, like it's not. There was a kid like. A kid in high school, literally doing a story, taking over the, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
High school.
Would you realize that all those luxury brands like Gucci, like Louis Vuitton, Balenciaga, all of them, they're so heavy focused now on accessories like bags and footwear, like sneakers, like $1,000.
$500 sneaker. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Cause that's just what culturally is going on. Like today. Louis Vuitton's new creative director for men's, Virgil, like did his first show, African-American. Or actually, no, I don't know if he's
African-American. Is he
African-American? I think he might be. I'm not sure, but he's either African or African-American. And, his whole thing was like, I grew up, I had nothing. I didn't go to design school. I made T-shirts using a photocopier. And that was like the gift for everyone was like his first design that he knocked off of Louis Vuitton. So culturally, that's what you're seeing. It's like
How was the collection, though?
I haven't really looked at it because it happened today. But, I mean, it was very colorful and it's very street edgy. It's
not,
but again, he's men's.
And you wonder why you had feelings of anxiety just recording.
Okay, team, I know it's summer and that can make it a little harder to stay focused on eating right, but that's one of the reasons I love Sunbasket. They make it so easy to make great tasting, healthy meals at home, no matter how much or how little experience you have with cooking. Sunbasket delivers organic produce and other clean ingredients right to your door. You know I love that. And now they have more options than ever. You just go to the Sunbasket app and you can pick from 18 weekly recipes. They're all different kinds of menu plans, from Mediterranean to vegan to paleo and so many others. They've got awesome summer dishes that are so simple, like black bean and quinoa burrito bowls with mixed vegetables and avocado, or smoky shredded chicken tacos with mango salsa. And what's great is that you can make a Sunbasket meal in just about 30 minutes. So go to sunbasket.com/Jillian today to learn more and get $35 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/Jillian for $35 off, sunbasket.com/Jillian. What if I told you that you could get the key points from the top 4 books you've been putting off reading in the time it would take you to finish this podcast? And I'm not talking about listening to audiobooks at 3 times normal speed. It's called Blinkist, and it's the only app that condenses thousands of the best-selling nonfiction books down to their most important elements. In just 15 minutes, you can learn more with Blinkist than you can in pretty much any other way. And you can listen anywhere. It's so easy. I listen to it in my car. I listen to it before bed. I definitely recommend checking out The Common Good. It's awesome. And the Blinkist library is huge. From classics like Think and Grow Rich to current bestsellers like The World As It Is, they're always adding new titles from the best of lists. So you're getting the most powerful ideas in a made-for mobile format. Right now, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/Jillian to start your free trial or get 3 months off your yearly plan when you join today. That's Blinkist, spelled BLINKIST.com. Blinkist.com/Jillian to start your free trial or get 3 months off your yearly plan. Blinkist.com/Jillian.
Go ahead, Bishop. Why don't you introduce this segment since you're...
It's on you.
I just feel like the hot topic is PCOS. A lot of women are dealing with it nowadays.
Did you hear she dressed up?
I don't want to lead.
You're leading.
No.
Bishop thinks that...
The air is better when you lead.
I was a little worried about,
especially
like,
after lunch.
Yeah, that's true. I was a little worried about doing a segment on this because I didn't want to alienate people, and Bishop pushed me. So we did a blog, a newsletter, and now we're going to do a podcast segment on PCOS.
I think it's good. We do get a lot of emails.
See?
Really?
About PCOS.
I struggled with PCOS as a teenager. And I didn't know. But man, like, I had a cyst burst. And I thought, like, I was dying. I'll never forget it. They took me to the emergency room, and they thought my appendix, like, it was crazy. Like, I could barely crawl to my mom's car.
It's painful.
Oh, my God. What? When it bursts, it sure the hell is.
Oh, I haven't even gotten that far.
Oof. You have it?
Well, I had, like, little cysts, but I didn't have, like, full-blown. Well, when I went to the doctor, they didn't say it was PCOS, but they said I have... Like, it could happen. I can form small cysts.
Ugh. Why don't we tell people what PCOS is? For those out.
It's called polycystic ovarian syndrome. And it's, you don't seem interesting.
Okay.
You don't seem interesting?
She doesn't seem, like she would, doesn't have a lot of the symptoms. The physical symptoms they haven't displayed on her. So it's when you literally get cysts and that form in your ovaries. And when they burst, it's like, dear God, it's like excruciating pain, and it can cause infertility. It's linked to high cholesterol, bad cholesterol, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes. Wow. And it's a hormone imbalance, right? So it's linked to insulin resistance, and it's also too many androgenic hormones like DHEA and testosterone and not enough estrogen.
Male hormones.
Yeah, that's why you don't
You get that booty and those hips. That's a very estrogen body right there. But
yeah, I haven't had issues with it lately. It was like about 6 months ago.
Huh. Okay. So a lot of doctors will treat it with a variety of things. So sometimes they'll give you metformin, which is a diabetes medication to improve insulin sensitivity. Sometimes they'll give you birth control to increase estrogen levels. Sometimes they'll give you androgen blockers. For me, I got it so young, and I learned to manage it over the years with lifestyle. But this is where we come back to this concept of being what's called an upstreamist. So I talked about this a long time ago. If you heard it, forgive me for the redundancy. The analogy, I believe, is from a TED Talk. And you got a bunch of doctors. They're standing by the river, right? And there's bodies floating down the river, and doctors are jumping in and pulling bodies out and, like, giving CPR. And a lot of doctors are doing that. And that's treating symptoms of a problem. But then there's what's called upstreamists. And those are the ones that, like, travel upstream. And they're like, what are you doing? And they're like, I'm trying to figure out how these people are falling in the river.
Yeah.
And for me, I appreciate that, you know, A, I obviously am not a doctor, but I think both are important. And with something hormonal, I think that understanding where the imbalance comes from and trying to correct it instead of add more of this or, you know what I mean? Like, what's throwing it off in the first place?
Right, right.
And I can tell you that I have had tremendous success with it. So, lifestyle. A lifestyle-based approach. And so we first look at, and this also is why keto has gotten away with, in my opinion, murder, because it's a diet that dramatically impacts your insulin levels. So if you're diabetic or you have PCOS or you have infertility linked to PCOS, this is where it's getting all of these accolades because it's dropping that insulin level and it's improving insulin sensitivity. But it's not the most efficient way. And it comes with a host of side effects.
Right.
So the number one thing that we should engage in when it comes to insulin sensitivity is exercise. It's the number one insulin sensitizer is fitness. And we've seen that, like, high intensity sessions, HIIT training and resistance training, 4 to 6 times a week, 30 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes is going to be the most effective for that. And then obviously if you're overweight, you want to manage how much you're eating to either maintain weight or lose the excess weight, which will also improve insulin sensitivity, and your fat cells throw off your hormone balance themselves. So by losing the weight or maintaining your weight, you're helping to combat that problem. And then it's looking at the stuff, like, clearly don't eat processed carbs, white flour, white sugar, juice. Like, don't do that. Don't eat things that send your blood sugar skyrocketing. So why do you think you're getting type 2 diabetes? It's not type 1. You're not born with it. You're eating so much processed sugar that you're literally handicapping your body's ability to utilize insulin. So if you stop doing that and you start managing what you're eating and you start working out, you can put all of that back into balance naturally without adding the drugs into the equation. And then if you look at, okay, what's throwing off estrogens and androgens, right? We do know that things like pesticides and, you know, chemicals in our body products like phthalates and fragrance and parabens and all of this stuff are coming into the body as xenoestrogens and creating a host of issues. And, like, honestly, go clean as often as you can. Avoid meat, dairy, and thin skin fruits and vegetables if they're not organic. Like, those are the top offenders. Get an orange then instead of the raspberries if you can't afford the organic. Have a grapefruit or watermelon instead of the peach if you cannot afford organic. Eat way less meat. We don't need nearly as much meat as we do. Do it once a week, not every day, and get grass-fed organic. Like, do the wild ocean-caught fish. Do, you know, the organic free-range chicken, and don't eat as much meat. Use all dairy alternatives like freaking coconut milk if you can't afford organic milk. So it just, these things should help you manage PCOS, if it's so far gone and you work with a doctor who's like, does put you on a certain kind of birth control or metformin. But in my opinion, like, the goal should be to wean you off.
Yeah.
Does it matter what time of day you work out if you have PCOS?
No,
I've
not
heard
at all.
Like, nighttime is
total
not good.
Bullshit.
Really?
No, not at all. Nighttime is just if it amps you and you can't sleep. So study after study has shown that the most effective time of day to train is the same time of day because your body adapts. So it's like, oh, we're going to work out. So it gets the endorphins going.
Okay.
So it's like, oh, this is my hour, my 11 o'clock hour. But if you can't sleep, like, okay, fine. You know, the reality is whenever you get that workout in, the better. It has nothing to do, though, with PCOS, nothing whatsoever. And you also want to combine your macros. So make sure that you've got protein, fat, and carbs in each meal because that's what's going to – which one of you did it?
Siri kicking in.
No, I just
– is this your first rodeo?
I'll hit the button.
What's
just
the
matter? Just looking at these texts that are coming in.
You're not interested in PCOS?
No, I actually am. I actually am.
No, I don't have ovaries.
Bishop, are you happy?
I'm happy.
I think you guys have heard me talk about this on the podcast, that natural, clean deodorants really don't work for me. And honestly, I thought I'd tried everything. But I was actually wrong, and I finally found one that changed the game for me. And it's a Kopari product. So Kopari's coconut deodorant not only doesn't suck, it actually works, and it smells amazing. And they have all plant-based ingredients in the product. So it's sage oil, coconut oil, and it lasts all day. Plus, it's free of aluminum, silicon, sulfates, parabens, GMOs, and even baking soda, which can irritate sensitive skin. So knowing that there's a safe, clean option out there that actually works and smells amazing, I mean, who wouldn't want to try it? Plus, Kopari offers a money-back guarantee, so there is no reason not to. Say aloha to Kopari and go to kopari.com/Jillian to make the safe switch today and see how you can save $5 off your first order. That's kopari.com/Jillian, kopari.com/Jillian, kopari.com/Jillian.
Okay, who's tired of fasting or cleanses that just leave you hungry and exhausted instead of rejuvenated and energized? Well, Prolon is the scientifically proven meal plan solution you've been waiting for. Prolon is a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making the cells believe they're fasting. Researched and developed for decades at the University of Southern California Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, Prolon helps promote healthy blood sugar, support cardiovascular health, and reduce abdominal fat. But Prolon isn't a diet. Prolon is science based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. And this all starts with Prolon's five-day program, snacks, soups, and beverages, all designed to keep your body in a fasting state. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. I did it for 5 days because I've had the absolute hardest time with straight fasts for even 24 hours. And it was a game changer for me. So right now, Prolon is offering Keeping It Real Conversations with Jillian Michaels listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Just go to prolonlife.com/Jillian. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian for this special offer. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian.
Okay, guys, we have a special guest today, a gentleman named Tommy John, who is one of the best. Well, I'll let you say. You said it so great. I said sports performance coach, but you said it better. So please. Go ahead and introduce yourself since you did it better than
right.
I did.
What am I? I'm a performance and healing specialist. So we're all human athletes and we're all needing to perform in life at whatever that is, whether it's sports or navigating a mall or just getting up and down off a toilet. But basically what I do is empower you to be your best self, regardless of where you're at on the timeline.
Now you have a new book out though, and that's what we're talking about today. And it's called Minimize Injury, Maximize Performance. So who is this book for?
So this book is is for anybody who has a young athlete in their family, knows a young athlete. Youth sports is so huge now. The industry is so big, but it's one of those things that these kids and how we're going about putting them into these activities, they're needing to rehab from their childhoods, and the injuries just keep getting more and more, and it's an epidemic in all sports, actually.
It's so funny when I first saw the title of the book, because we share a friend in common named Heather Jackson, and I've been doing books with her for years, and she called me about you and was telling me about the book, and I just thought, like, I didn't realize what an epidemic it was for young athletes and how prevalent it was, because it really isn't my business. But then as she was talking to me, I was thinking about my own kids. And even just yesterday, Heidi sent me a picture of our six-year-old in a handstand on a wall in for gymnastics tryouts. And I was like, how long? She's like, he's been holding this a really long time, and I'm scared of the coach. And I thought, like, already six. She's like, there's young children here climbing ropes with weight vests on. Like, I always tell people never to do that because it throws off your biomechanics. And then I thought, all right, this is crazy. And then I have this interview with you today. And what is happening that this is so prevalent nowadays? Is it ignorance? Because the coach, can't be dumb, can he?
No, and it's not. It's all coming from a good place, I believe. And just when I talk to people and explore this even more, it's a three-headed monster that's creating this. The business of youth sports is a $15 billion industry,
wow.
So everyone's got their hand in the pot. You also have it's the American lifestyle paradigm of, you know, we're overfed and malnourished, overstimulated with technology, right, and less aware. We can have a tendency to be overcoached and underprepared. And then overtrained, like you said, and underdeveloped, where the American training performance sports model is to have elite youth, but which we're getting. We're acquiring elite youth, but they're not sustainable in high school or even at levels later. So we're breaking developmental rules, and it's all based around the parents' literally FOMO, the fear of missing out. You know, where a well-intended parent just wants the best for their child, but the other forms are coming at them, the other elements are coming at them saying you're going to be left behind, playing on the heartstrings of what a parent only wants for their kids, and that's just to give them the best opportunities possible. So it's all coming from a good place, but it's literally like we're throwing a bunch of babies down hallways and yelling at them to run. And they just don't know what to do. They can't survive. And then we're getting upset when they're injured at the other end of it.
Okay. So, like, I know you wrote, I hate when people do this to me. They're like, what are your top tips?
Good.
I'm like, I wrote a 200-page book about this. What are my top tips?
Right.
But I mean, like, all right. I try to think of it like this then. Give me a highlighter on what people are going to learn about in your book. Like, give me three, and I'm sure there are far more because we literally just got the book, so forgive me.
Sure.
But, like, what are some of the things that we need to know? What are some flags? Like, what am I going to see in my kids' gymnastics class or their karate class? And I need to be like, oh, no, no, no. Or, you know what I mean? Like, what can I do right now?
Right. So it's one of the things is to understand that there is a way to create an environment to develop the best, healthiest, highest performing, functioning youth, athlete, child we can do.
Okay.
Most of that we need to focus around where we need to rethink the whole concept of skills and competition early on, and more development and general physical preparedness, where sports per se, let's just say if we had 100% of our sports time of the week for our athlete, and everybody develops differently, so it's hard to put everyone in a box, but until they're maybe 12 or 13, the ratio should be 90% general physical movements, just exploration of physical movements for balance, agility, coordination, strength, kinesthetic awareness, these things, and 10% skill, which is throwing of the ball, shooting of the ball, kicking of the ball, what have you. But in this country, as you know, I mean, you can picture right now, it's completely flipped up on its head.
Right. And you're trying to build a foundation first before they exactly. jump ahead to the more advanced exactly. stuff, which they don't have the basic skill for. So then, of course, they get injured.
Correct.
Right, I understand.
And another big thing is just to kind of understand that everyone's looking for organizations to solve the problems, where it's almost like we're trying to set up the sports in a way that they don't hurt the child or the athlete at whatever age, instead of focusing on the athlete, focusing on the development of the kid, and then just letting the sport be the sport. It's almost like we're trying to change the weather to prevent frostbite instead of putting on a coat and gloves.
Wow. And so that's one a great of those analogy. Things
is just, you know, it's literally just we, everything can be put in your, everything you need to put your child in the best position possible is in your hands, is in your homes, is in your cupboards, is in your phones, is in your TVs, is in your relationship. It's all within your hands rather than feeling that it's outside, that someone's going to save you or take your child and make them what they want, especially in these early years. Now, there's a time to specialize and get serious about it, but that's well into our teenage years, well later on. And that's even as a professional baseball player, that's when I specialized in baseball, was my senior year of high school.
Really? Because you do think, like, you hear these stories of, like, oh, well, I was doing that at 3 years old. I was, you know, skiing moguls at 90 miles an hour. And you're like, oh, man, I better get him skiing. Instead of, oh, I should get him outside, you know, playing basketball and learning, you know, hand-eye coordination. Like, you're not thinking that. You're thinking, oh, he's got to be sport-specific out of the womb nowadays to go anywhere in sports. And
absolutely.
You're saying it's the exact opposite, essentially.
Exactly. And if you look at the best, if you look at who we're all striving to be, who have the scholarships, who have the
right.
contracts, who are the superstars, they play multiple sports. They explored these different avenues on their own and saw what was good, what was bad, what they liked, what they didn't like. And then they specialized. So the best, I would hope, Jill, I would hope that everybody would make these decisions for the health and well-being of their child. But let's just say, It's I'm going to make the best decisions because I want the best athlete. I want them to have a scholarship or a contract. Okay. Even if that's your drive, it still doesn't make sense to specialize early on until late teenage years on a normal developmental cycle.
Wow.
Yeah.
That Here literally, you're right. That's fear. I would be afraid to do that. Like, even hearing you, I would be like, I don't have a kid that I want to be a professional athlete. But hearing you say that, I'd be like, oh, no, I can't do that. I mean, they're all working on their frickin', I don't know, the pitching. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they're
exactly.
how they're gripping the football and the spiral. Like, I mean, that's incredible stuff, though. Like, and I love that you have examples to back it up.
Yeah.
Where can parents – all right, this is also a dumb question. I'm presuming we can get the book anywhere. Okay. And what about a website or anything like that?
Yeah. So you can go to my website, drtommyjohn.com. You can follow me on Twitter or Instagram, drtommyjohndc. There's links to their Amazon. It's on Amazon. It's at Barnes & Noble.
Of course. And it's Minimize Injury, Maximize Performance, a Sports Parents Survival Guide. So for anybody with kids who are athletic and have dreams of getting a scholarship or becoming, you know, God forbid, or, you know, God willing, becoming a professional athlete. This is in particular a must have, but even just soccer moms, man, even just to make sure your kid isn't getting messed up.
If you know a kid, if you just know a kid, this is the book for them. And then, Jill, what I'm really hoping is when people go through and read about and see these principles of performance and healing, it's literally going to be, wait, could I apply this to me? I just had somebody the other day say, I know a professional, he's 22 years old. This would totally make sense for him. Well, yeah, we're all human athletes on
right.
that line. And wherever we pick up, it's just wherever we are. But as long as we got air in our breath or lungs and air in our lungs and, you know, warm blood going through, we can always make a change to perform at a higher level and just exceed our potential.
I love this. Thank you so much. I cannot wait to actually sit down with the book and then maybe we can have you back to do another segment because I know I'll have 50 more questions.
It would be my pleasure.
Thank you so much, my friend. Go get the book, Minimize Injury, Maximize Performance, A Sports Parent Survival Guide by Dr. Tommy John. Thank you so much, my friend. Look forward to having you back.
Definitely. Thanks for having me on, you guys.